Okay, welcome to our second episode. We actually have a show name this week, right?
That we do.
So we got a lot of show name suggestions from everyone in the Channel 9 audience. A lot of really great ones. Dan and I were literally fighting over this until the bitter end right before we filmed today.
That's right, that's right. It came down to a coin toss.
It seriously did.
And pathetically enough, yeah.
So what did we go with?
This week on Channel 9, picked by Ian and Chevka.
Chad K or Chad, however you pronounce that.
He could be from Belarus.
This is true. So we have a name. Thank you all very much for your contributions. We also got a lot of other feedback over the course of the various threads. What did people tell us?
It was dark.
Yeah, definitely.
Tighten it up.
Yep.
Keep it real.
Yep.
More Dan.
More Dan was
probably more in relatives of mine, but they were a little concerned.
Okay, all right, duly noted. Yeah, sure.
What else?
Shorter videos. Let's try to get through this quickly and
keep
respect
it in 20 minutes.
Time. Yeah, definitely. So we're gonna do our best to try to take all of your feedback and keep the suggestions coming. But before we go too much further, I think we should go ahead and make some set adjustments just to make it a little brighter in here and a little bit more relaxed. So let's go. Okay, that's a lot better.
Yeah.
Why is that Channel 9 guy so heavy?
So no joke, talked to Jeff Sandquist, and they made it really, really heavy so that people wouldn't steal it.
Mission accomplished. The thing's like 250 pounds.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah, wow. I had to lug that by myself over here. Yeah.
Nice. The things we do for you guys.
I know.
Sheesh. Okay, well, let's get right into our first story then.
Boom!
Microsoft and Yahoo.
Wow, huge.
Yeah, sure is. Our first show went live last week on Friday morning, and I gotta say we didn't really see that coming to collide the two news stories. No one gave us the heads up there.
Yeah. So here's like unpaid interns.
Yeah.
And then we're like right here.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Who knew? But really, they wanted us to release so that we would kind of soften the blow because everybody's talking about us.
That's true.
So what's interesting, though, is so this is the Ballmer quote, and mm-hmm. they actually did a conference, and you can look at some of the slides. But it's really all about search and advertising, yet you see all these bloggers talking that it's everything else, and you know, he says it explicitly clear that it's all about search and advertising.
Yeah, it's been pretty interesting to watch the reaction over the last week and see what people think about this. But I'm really interested to see how this pans out for developers. Really, what do you think?
Yeah. So here's the highlights as I see them.
Right. And this is really just our opinions. We're like right below the interns.
Unpaid interns.
Exactly.
Us. So I don't even think they know we're in here. But my view is I think Yahoo's done some cool stuff for APIs.
Mm-hmm.
So whether it's acquisitions like Flickr, which has great APIs, or Yahoo Mail, which has a
totally.
Ton of APIs.
Totally. Yep.
They actually have a .NET developer center. So mm-hmm. and they release samples in VB and C#. Like they are not so anti. And we worked with Yahoo before. Mm-hmm. We did the IM agreement.
The WPF Messenger client.
Yeah. They had WPF before Microsoft had WPF.
Yeah, it's a touchy subject. Well, we won't go there.
Awkward. with no knowledge mm-hmm. of anything of that's actually going on, some of the things that I could see would be interesting would be Pipes and Popfly.
Mm.
So before moving to Channel 9, I was working as the product manager for Popfly.
Yep.
So, and people would always ask me, are you just ripping off Pipes? And the reality is Pipes was great for data. So, like, it's sort of like the equivalent of a database, if you will. I'm doing commands, I'm doing SQL, but it's in a visual thing where I take multiple RSS feeds, say I'm looking for ninjas, online.
And who isn't, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Ask a Ninja.
Yep.
And I want all the to combine all these different Ninja feeds. Mm-hmm. I can do like union operations and take in multiple feeds and then filter them through. So take multiple, combine them, and then the end result is really just an RSS feed.
Sure.
So somebody, it's not an actual UI. Well, Popfly was all about applications. So meaning like the actual application UI. And you could take some of the things for pipes and plug it into directly into Popfly because we could just consume any RSS feed.
Right.
But I mean, should this actually happen, I think it'd be interesting to see how you could better integrate pipes and Popfly.
Yeah, definitely. I think there's going to be a lot of synergy created here, but that sounds too marketing. But seriously, I really do think that there's a lot of neat opportunities on the horizon if this deal goes through. Incidentally, I heard we actually, for the first time in our history, are going to have to borrow money in order to acquire Yahoo if this actually does go through.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we will. So, you know, $45 billion, I think we only have $20 billion in the bank. So this episode of our show this week, actually, we're devoting to a telethon drive. So if you could call, you know, even $1 million, $2 million, whatever you have, it all helps. It all adds up in the end. So we really appreciate that.
That's a very large acquisition for our company that normally, you know, our acquisitions were relatively small companies.
Largest technology acquisition ever.
Oh, really?
What I heard, yeah.
Okay. Oh, because so. You heard it must be true. The other interesting part is YUI, which is a user interface thing. And we have this thing called the ASP.NET AJAX library. Those two things could merge. So you can imagine like some future version of ASP.NET AJAX using YUI or ASP.NET controls that would actually render YUI controls to the browser, which I think would be pretty cool because they have some nice stuff for YUI.
Cool. So, okay. So that's Microsoft and Yahoo. I'm sure we'll be talking a lot more about them in the future.
Yeah, the last thing here is, and this was Brian Shapiro, talking about, you know, a lot of people have been hating or loving this relationship, and people, what's interesting to see is this telephone survey. So 60% said the takeover would be good for the economy. And 63% have a favorable opinion of Microsoft. And 65% have a favorable opinion of Yahoo. So it's kind of interesting to see, while you know, you read sort of
the vocal minority,
and they're incredibly vocal, but the, you know, the majority of people don't actually feel that way. So interesting to see.
Okay, looking forward to seeing how that story envelops.
And that was from the Coffee House.
Oh, that's true. Good call.
Yep.
Okay. So next story, we had something else ship. It seems like every week there's something going off, right?
I know, launch. So this was Windows Server 2008. Okay. I caught up with Brian Hinrichs, who's the project manager, and they actually stopped work on Windows Server 2008 all of last year.
Right.
They did, like, everything was about reliability and testing and pushing it into production. Like, so they were so hardcore.
No new features, but let's just make sure we get it right.
Of last year, and everything was just perf, reliability. I mean, just pretty insane that we would do that. And I was really impressed by Brian's view. And we have
I think his name's Alex, too, but that's okay.
Did I say Brian? I'm looking at you. It's Alex Hinrichs.
So let's go to the clip.
This is him talking about his favorite feature in Windows Server 2008.
Okay.
Server core.
It's a GUI-less, small, tight version of the OS with just a handful of key roles, like web server, file server, Active Directory, DNS, DHCP, and print.
So Windows Server core seems really cool. If that's all you want, just a special purpose device.
Yeah. I mean, just super small footprint on the device. Just a couple scenarios. So you don't have to have a be all end all. You don't need a GUI. Pretty cool stuff.
Nice. Looking forward to that. Okay. What else do we have? The RTM of Windows Vista SP1.
That's huge. Right.
Yeah. So what's that mean for developers?
Yeah, so here, this is, I'd say, one of the most underreported story of the week. Not Windows Vista SP1, which is all over the place, and consumers are going to get it, you know, in March. And this is from the Windows Vista blog. But I caught up with Tim Sneath, who's an evangelist at Microsoft. And there's a number of changes for SP1 for developers. And I don't think developers know that this stuff is going on.
Right. Because so, I mean, service packs generally, a lot of bug fixes, right? But we're seeing more and more new functionality getting added to service packs nowadays, which is another nice release vehicle for getting these features out.
Right, right. And the interesting part is, one, SP1 and Windows Server 2008 came out at the same time because it's actually a new kernel. That same kernel that's been tested since 2007 is now the kernel in Vista.
Wow.
So it's that same kernel in Windows Server 2008 is in Windows Vista.
Mm-hmm.
Other stuff, WPF. WPF performance enhancements, lots there. Direct 3D, it now includes 10.1 and has specific hardware optimization. So I'm not exactly sure what they are, but it's the... your games will run faster, and it takes advantage of whatever the local graphics cards is for distributed
yep.
processing.
Yep. Okay.
Now, the other interesting bit we'll talk about in a second is that it now includes 3.1 SP1 red bits, and we'll talk about red bits and green bits in a sec.
Okay.
Fewer UAC dialogues. This is just nice stuff.
Right.
And Windows Forms now has the Vista-style common dialogues. And there's a lot more.
Okay.
So these red bit, green bit things.
Right. We've heard about this before.
Yes.
You know, in terms of the relationship between the .NET Framework 3.0 and .NET Framework 3.5. But what's this mean for Vista SP1 specifically?
Yeah. So what it means is the green bits themselves, mm-hmm. and green bits are what's considered 3.5.
Right. New functionality in 3.5.
Yes.
Right.
That is not in Windows Vista SP1.
Okay.
So you don't get link, you don't get D-link, X-link, those sort of things.
Okay. Still have to install those separately as part of 3.5.
Right.
Okay.
But you do get all the stuff within 3.0. So there's new APIs for things like peer-to-peer.
Mm-hmm.
You get partial trust for WCF.
Okay.
And
those are the red bits then we're talking about.
Yeah, so okay. So the actual red bit changes are in Windows Vista SP1.
Okay, great.
So and this is Daniel Moth, who has the best graphical representation of what's actually going on the machine. So
okay. So it's there's got to be some sort of Christmas in February joke here with the red bits, green bits, but it's not coming to me. So moving on.
Yeah, that's pretty terrible.
Yeah, we'll edit that out later.
Yeah.
Okay. So last week we talked about how Charles has been shooting a bunch of videos with some of the language wonks that were actually over here in this building.
At lang.net, yes.
Yep, and those are starting to come online this week, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we have a clip here. What's this clip?
Yeah, so this is Eric Meyer, Gilad Braca, and Mads Torgersen. So I think a lot of people on Channel 9 know Eric Meyer.
Of course, yep.
But Gilad is external, and he has his own language that he's working on, and he's definitely a language rock. And then Mads is actually working on the C# team as a language designer. So in this clip, they started talking about C++ and whether C++ was...
relevant, right?
Yes, a dead language or not a dead language, and then... is it really a general purpose language versus is it a systems language and is it good for its system language? And Gilad, I'd say he's an opinionated guy.
Okay.
So here's his quick thought on whether C++ is dead.
I don't disagree that it's a very active area. It's not dead.
Yeah.
But you know, a bottle of you know bubonic plague isn't dead either. It's very much alive. But is it good?
Wow.
Yeah, so we got a little bubonic
what
plague.
Is that?
This is a little bubonic plague.
They
There's
put
nothing.
Bubonic plague in a spritzer now? That
yeah,
seems really
this
smart.
Is, this is Walmart.
So. That's really bad, actually. God, it's tingling all over. Like.
Yeah, the tingling means it's working.
Oh, good. Okay, well, send them my feedback. It works.
Yeah, so, you know what's funny? C++, like, a lot of people end up hating on C++,
mm-hmm.
but you could probably argue the most successful in terms of, like, monetary-wise, successful applications or systems are written in C++.
You could argue that. I would argue J#, but, you know.
Yeah, well, Windows Server, Linux, Apache, like, all these different things are built in C++.
That's true.
People love to hate, man.
Yeah.
So,
well, it's not, it's an older language, right? So it's not as sexy and cool as some of the newer guys, but
yeah,
it knows what's
yeah.
up. It's been around.
Yeah, yeah.
So, all right. Okay. So a lot more of those videos coming online over the next week or so.
Yes.
Charles filmed a lot of content there.
Yeah, yeah. Great. We got a lot more videos, some pretty exciting stuff.
Cool.
Here's a really nice tool. It's called LinkPad.
Okay.
So what LinkPad does is allows you to work link to SQL, link to objects, link to XML. It's a free tool. It's not open source, but he says you can reflect on it. And who is the gentleman here? This is
Joseph Albahari.
Yes, he is the guy who wrote C# 3.0 in a nutshell. Now, the other cool part about this is it actually includes 200 types of samples for link queries. So if you just want to play around and see how link queries work, change a couple of parameters. Super handy tool to just do a quick and dirty link query.
Great. Okay.
And see the results.
That's at linkpad.net.
Linkpad.net, free download.
Cool. Okay, what's next?
Samples. So this is a tons of code. You want to talk about this one? You want me to talk about it?
Go right ahead.
Guitar Matey. So this is a guy who works for Microsoft, built a 250 meg zip file that shows you everything you need to do from scratch building an XNA game, a 3D XNA game. So it includes videos, tutorials. The other cool part is, and this is the part where I suck at, is actually doing things like modifying texture files, models, and some of the graphical tools using Xact for audio.
There's a steep learning curve there.
Yeah, there's a lot to learn, especially when you're building a 3D game. So everything's available, all the videos are available, and I found this from Clint on Coding for Fun.
Great. And so that's two of my favorite things, Guitar Hero and Pirates. So
yeah,
you can't go wrong there.
You can't go wrong.
All right, what's next? Another another sample from the code project.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, this is one of those things where you always wonder why it isn't in the framework. In fact, we had a discussion before when I found this sample where you just assumed this was in the framework.
Naturally.
So Manish Kumar built a wizard control, and basically it allows you to create a Windows wizard. So how to go through and, you know, build whatever.
Right.
Or set up a network connection.
Right. And so you can embed the wizard within your application to help your users set up some settings files or whatever you want.
Right, right. Okay. And the cool part is it actually has designer support. So I'll actually be able to, at design time, see the GUI of what it looks like.
Design the pages,
an image.
Design the branching logic.
Yeah, this is directly in the Windows form. There's events properties there and smart tasks as well, which is pretty nice.
Cool.
But yeah, there's a wizard control for ASP.NET, but none for Windows forms.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a really great example. And I found this on Jason Haley, who has a great link blog.
Okay, great.
So,
very cool.
Cool stuff, nice project, Manish.
Okay, and so now it's time for our picks of the week.
Picks of the week!
My pick of the week this week actually has to do with MySpace. They're actually a customer of mine that I get to work with kind of as part of my day job down in Beverly Hills. Pop it down and hang out with Tom and the guys down there. And this is all about embedding a Silverlight control right within your MySpace page. And so by using their Open Spaces API, Open Social API, Michael Schroeder, I guess, is how you say it, Michael?
Sure.
Michael was able to basically create a Silverlight app right within MySpace. And so you can imagine all sorts of really cool possibilities, but just another target platform now for you to go out and build some cool Silverlight applications.
Yeah, so one is we have a Mix event coming in March. MySpace is giving a talk on how they built their APIs, and MySpace is a .NET shop, and they're using Windows Communication Foundation to build those APIs.
Right.
So to me, it's very cool to be able to run Silverlight inside of MySpace.
Yeah.
So definitely a good pick.
Yeah, definitely. All right, what's your pick of the week, Dan?
All right, so this is my utilitarian pick, but this is one where I know I'm going to end up using this. There's a website. I want to be able to steal content from it.
The term is leverage. Right?
Leverage, screen scrape.
Okay, sure.
Screen scrape. And this is a real pain. So what this does is I give it, so I actually do a web request, get the HTML for the page, and then I pass it into this thing. And what it does is it spits me back all the tables on that page into a data set. So let's say I am pulling ESPN.com.
Right.
And there's like three different sports score tables that I want to be able to gather. I give this, and it'll give me back the HTML. Each of those will be its own data table object, and then I can, for example, add them up or you know, resell them on whatever crazy scheme I'm working.
Not that we would ever advocate this.
No.
Hypothetically.
But a lot of times you need to do this, you know, a company that doesn't have an API, and there are other services that do this on the web today. Mm-hmm. But it's just really nice that I can just give it a set of HTML, and it gives me back a data set. So and everybody can play with the data set. And this is Mark Smith on ASP.NET Library.com.
That's really cool. Nice. Yep. Good work, Mark. And I think that just about wraps up our show then.
Yeah. Super fast, easy, quick.
Yeah.
What else we got? I think that's it.
We talked about the Super Bowl, right? Did you watch that this weekend?
Yeah, that's right. So, actually, let's pull up your predictions of the score.
What did I say about the score? Well, there's no denying that the Patriots are a great team, great season, but I'm calling the Giants 17-14 over the Patriots. Well, you know, I do know a thing or two about football. I did go to the University of Florida. I didn't go to Miami. So, you know.
Yeah, that shows.
Yeah.
So email us, bestshow@microsoft.com. This week on Channel 9, let us know what you think. And we'll call it a day.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Everyone.
Thanks for watching.
Got all this banana cake laid out. He got everyone a nice pen.
Oh yeah.
And he's like, I got you a banana cake and pen just so you can just click yes. Right?
Oh, that's great.